Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 46 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. It's actually going to be pretty action-packed. I've got coming up Tracy Wilson to discuss, give us the whole breakdown on what happened at TACCOM. So we had a great time there. So we're going to discuss that rather than just me discussing it alone. And then after that, I'm going to bring on Dean Carr from Select Shooting Supplies out in Cambridge, Ontario. And just to get Dean's perspective on TACCOM, and also he's going to tell us about his range day that he's got going on this coming weekend as well. So rather than to have a first segment where I kind of give you guys an update, I'm just going to mention a couple of things, and then I can forego that and go straight to Tracy Wilson. You guys don't have to listen to me blabbing on endlessly. A couple of things I did want to mention. The response to the CCFR booth at TACCOM was unbelievable. You're going to hear all about it with Tracy and stuff, but I just really wanted to thank people for just getting behind the CCFR and supporting what we're doing, because we're working really, really hard and we're doing everything we possibly can to stop people from taking our stinking guns and to try to represent gun owners to non-gun owning Canadians. And it's not an easy thing to do. That's why, as far as representing the community, it just hasn't been done much, if at all, in the past, because it's not easy to do it, especially because we're all angry all the time. So anyway, it's tough work to do. It's very detailed work to do. And I just have to tell you all how much I appreciate your support. For us trying to do something that just nobody really had a playbook to do. So, and there was a huge response to the podcast too. So I mentioned to people at the booth, people like, I always listen to the podcast. I'm like, do you? That's awesome, right? Because for me, the only place I can really track numbers for the podcast is on YouTube. And on YouTube, we get about 2,000 listens per episode on average. And that's fantastic as it is. But usually that will represent somewhere around one third, if not an eighth, or if not even less, of your podcast audience, because very few people will listen to a podcast on YouTube. It's like I'm mispronouncing it, on YouTube. But they're typically going to Spotify, iTunes, all the other places that we run our podcast, even just your regular podcast catcher apps, no matter what they are. And I can't track those numbers. So I really don't know how big the audience is. I theorize that somewhere around 8,000 people are listening, which is fantastic, which is just great, because it just means that we're participating in our community. So thank you all for listening to this podcast and for all the compliments that people gave me. I'm not a professional broadcaster, right? I'm a gun guy. So the fact that people see value in the podcast is really meaningful. Anyway, and it was also great to meet so many of our supporters at TACCOM. A lot of people had a lot of kind words for the work we're doing and the work I'm doing and Tracy's doing and everyone. And it's just, that is really meaningful. And I know I say it all the time, but without our members chipping in their $40 a year or a donation here or there or buying some swag or whatever, there is no CCFR. We can't do anything. You know, at that point, we're just a Facebook group. So it's, don't ever discount how important you are if you're somebody that just spends $40 a year and has, takes pride in their CCFR membership card. That's everything. That's the whole game right there. So anyway, I just want to say that, and I never want that to get lost in the, in the clutter kind of thing. The only other announcement I want to make real quick before we take a quick break and come back with Tracy is that I've talked to you guys about the medical study that's coming. So it's a study of, as you guys know, we did the media study and we moved on to the study of the 19 studies. And what that means is that the doctors, the spin doctors for protection from guns, constantly talk about the medical evidence that supports their wanting to ban so-called assault rifles and handguns, and basically all guns from everybody. And they're saying the medical evidence is clear and overwhelming. And they, for a long time, they're posting their 19 studies on Twitter that are supportive of their position. And I might have mentioned it before, but I'm not sure that they've ever read those studies themselves or anyone else. They just say, well, the doctor said the studies are good. They must support. Doctors wouldn't lie to you, would they? But as it turns out, absolutely they would. They lie as easily as they breathe for some reason, this group of doctors, these group of activist doctors. And we have looked into their studies, read them, digested them, and provided summaries for every single one of them. It was a tremendous amount of work. It was done by our full-time researcher, who is Brandon Wallingford. And Brandon did a great job. So here's the reason why I'm bringing it up. I've been talking about it for a long time. It's coming out on Friday. That's tomorrow. So basically, I'm recording this actually on Wednesday. So today's Wednesday. I got to get this podcast ready for release tomorrow. Hopefully, I have time to finish proofreading and making some small edits to the report today. Tomorrow morning, I will make the video for it, which will be about 5 or 6 hours work straight. The podcast will come out, and then on Friday morning, I will upload that video, and the study itself will go out, will go up on gundebate.ca. So it's really a lot of work to do in a short period of time, but I just don't want to wait anymore, even though we just got back from TACOM. But it's going to be out on Friday. So when you do see it, have a quick read. It's not a difficult read. It's only, I don't know, it's 10 or so pages of the summary and whatnot. And there's links to all of the studies. If you want to double check it for yourself, no problem. All the source data will be there. And just share the video. Share the video and share the link to the study. And probably most important, make sure that every time that the doctors on their Twitter feed or on Facebook or anywhere that they are on social media, anytime they talk about the medical evidence supporting their conclusion that handguns and so-called assault weapons need to be banned and people's doors need to be kicked in to get them, you just post that video that I'm going to make that'll be out on Friday. Just keep posting that video over and over again. Post the link to the study too, to the report, and just say, yep, you guys are absolutely practicing deception right now, which is unbecoming of a doctor, and then post that material so that every time they try to tell their ridiculous, inaccurate story, they're being hammered with the truth. And that goes, I can't tell you how valuable that is and how far that goes to achieving our goal of just being treated like normal people and normalizing our sport. We aren't a threat, you know that. But the rest of Canada needs to know that. And they also need to know that these doctors are very bad representatives of their community. They've done an incredible disservice to the reputation of doctors. And so have the medical associations that have supported them as well. And we're going to be going after them next because what they've done is just terrible. So anyway, all that to say, the report and all that stuff is coming out tomorrow unless I have a heart attack before then. Don't rule anything out ever. I wanted to say thank you for everybody listening to the podcast, and thank you so much for your support of the CCFR. So I'll be back in a second with Tracy Wilson.
Wolverine Supply is your one-stop shop for anything and everything firearms, optics, ammunition, accessories, and archery. Exclusive Canadian distributor for the industry's top-tier brands and manufacturers with access to some of the most sought-after products in the country. Our online store provides convenient shopping and full access to our entire inventory 24/7. For 30 years, Wolverine Supplies has been an industry leader in the firearms community and continuously strives to provide an unbeatable customer experience. Check us out online at wolverinesupplies.com and to sign up to our newsletter, that's wolverinesupplies.com.
All right, on the Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson of the CCFR. I think that's who she's with, right, Tracy?
Sometimes we're not sure, but yes, I'm absolutely with the CCFR.
Excellent. Well, either you're with the CCFR or you're against it. Isn't that what George W. said?
Oh, yeah. The worst people are the fence sitters. You know, you're either with us or you're against us. Yep.
Anyways, cool. So, all right. Well, we're on here together to talk about the TACOM experience. So what do you think?
Well, it was amazing. First of all, I'm going to apologize. I've got TACOM voice going on after 3 days of talking to folks and shaking hands and everything else. Of course, my voice is a little more strained than it usually is. However, I talked to Fred and we had 18,778 people come through the doors. So like that is overwhelming support for this event. Hundreds of booths, thousands of guns. Of course, zero violence, which is great, as per usual with gun owners.
How can that be possible?
Right?
How is that even possible that there was no shootings with all those guns around?
Well, I'll tell you why. Because this wasn't an event for gangbangers. This was an event for Canada's sport shooting community. So It was a complete success in my eyes. I wasn't really sure, as I don't think anybody was, on what we could expect walking into it. But it was everything I had hoped it would be and more. So kudos to Fred and the gang over at FOC. I know I saw Adam on Monday as I was leaving town. I stopped to pick up something at the shop. And, you know, those guys are still working, unloading two huge trucks. And those guys, I mean, everybody just worked really, really hard to come together. I noticed a big talk on the floor of the event was the effort put into the quality of the booths by the retailers and distributors and the people that were there. You know, this was like shot show quality booths. This wasn't a swap meet style. This was very, very exciting. I'm really excited to see what comes of it next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was awesome. And and it was super busy. And I was absolutely exhausted. It was so overstimulating for me that I couldn't sleep most of the weekend. So it was it was a long haul for me, man.
Oh, me too. I was just pumped right up on adrenaline. This whole experience was amazing. In fact, I've been speaking to a lot of the big retailers and distributors that were at the show, and they're all saying the same thing, that our booth was by far the busiest of the whole show. It was crazy. There was times where the crowd sort of filled the booth so completely that they extended out into the aisle and showgoers couldn't really get by, which just created this big pileup and made the crowd even bigger. But yeah, I think we're going to have to expand a little bit next year. But the support for the CCFR all the way around from everybody was just incredible. And that showed, especially in your speech. So we both had a couple of opportunities to get up on the main stage. And you in particular, you had a 30-minute speaking spot, which was fantastic. It was absolutely packed for your speech. You were very engaging. You held on to your audience and you delivered this flawlessly. So kudos to you on that. I talked to Adam at the end of the show and I said, you know, I'd missed a lot of the other presentations because, you know, we're busy with the booth and doing our own thing. And I asked him which was the most well-attended speaking, you know, portion. And he said, by far, it was yours. So that was great. Yeah, well, that was really good for you, good for the CCFR, and especially good for gun owners.
All right. Well, how much was this? Was that going to cost me again?
Okay. Yeah. Don't let your head swell too big, because we also had a great turnout for the women's panel. So this was important to me, you know, as a woman in the industry and in a very male dominated role usually as a lobbyist. It was great to get together with these other women. So we had a panel. It was moderated by Amanda Lynn Mayhew, Hunting Sensation. We also had Charla Finn on there, otherwise known as Brass Loving Brunette from Instagram. She's literally Instagram famous. We had a couple of really great sponsored IPSC shooters, Kayla Worth and Alexandra Kother. And then we had Jordana Goldlist, which is a criminal defense lawyer out of Toronto. She is fantastic. She's been a TEDx speaker, everything else. And then we had a late edition of Lovey Mailspin, who is the ex-IDF, which is Israeli Defense Force instructor. So she's cute as a button, but don't let that fool you, because she is a tactical wizard. So yeah, we had a great conversation. We kept it kind of light, told some funny stories, and it was just really great to connect with other women in the sport. You know, sometimes girls get overlooked, but not lately. So that was a big highlight for me. I love that.
Right on. Yeah, it was good. I actually enjoyed doing my speech. Usually it's work for me, right?
Right.
I get up there and whatever, entertain people, and you know, but the stage looked really nice. There was lots of people. Everybody was very interested, and you know, it was actually, this whole speech thing was kind of last minute. I gave the last version to Adam the day before I was supposed to give it. I'm like, I hope this is okay. And yeah, I think it went over really well, and I think the message was really important. And the message was just really why we do the things that we do at the CCFR. There's a reason why we do these things, why we don't just, you know, threaten politicians or threaten to take the government to court or stuff like that. And And anyway, we've got a lot of footage of that speech. And what I'd like to do is I'm trying to get it from Adam. They recorded it, plus our people recorded it. We were recording for Canada Downrange for season two. So great. So TACOM will be an episode in itself.
Okay.
And so hopefully I can get all that stuff, and then I'll post the whole speech if I can piece enough together. I think we've got everything. So yeah.
That would be great, because I know a lot of people have been writing in and asking me about that. And funny enough, I tried to settle down in front of the stage and do like a live stream video, but for some reason it was streaming without any audio. So basically it was just a talking rod with no sound coming out of you. And once I could see people commenting saying there was no sound, I ended the live stream and deleted it. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to capture it, which was my plan. So it'll be nice to have a really good quality version of that out there for people, because I think that message is so vital.
Mm-hmm. All that footage exists. So I just got to get a hold of it and have the time to sit down and edit it and upload it. But,
awesome.
But yeah, no, the show was a ton of fun. The Fifth Estate was there.
Yes.
We've been dodging the Fifth Estate, I think, for 6 months. Well, since our AGM, because the whole Fifth Estate thing actually started with them wanting to do a story primarily on the CCFR. And they wanted to come to our AGM, which we didn't allow them to do. And they kept following us and emailing us. And then finally, they emailed the last time and said they were coming to TACOM. So I was like, well, what are we going to do? Like, not interview with them if they're coming to TACOM. So I think the story has now morphed from a story about the CCFR, which can be pretty, there can be risk. It can be risky, right? Because if they're going to hyper-focus on us, then they're going to be like, well, obviously we need to discredit them somehow. They're gun people. And then now it's more about TACOM and more about the community. So that actually works well for us. Mm-hmm. And it also, it allows everybody else to get in on it too. It was interesting. And the reason why I brought this up was, as you know, Tracy, we were both standing together while we were being interviewed, and they didn't throw any evil questions at us. There was really nothing nasty. And that was surprising. So I'm optimistic, cautiously optimistic for a decent, balanced, story about our community. And I think it's going to air on September 22nd.
Yes, that's the date they gave us. I was a little surprised too. And I mean, through their emails over the last few months, you know, they've kind of said, you know, look, we want to tell your side of the story, and, you know, we want your voice to be heard. And of course, you know, I trust Mexican tap water better. So, you know, I was a little apprehensive, but I mean, here's the thing. We're usually so on point, so well-spoken, and we have the benefit of being right in our corner. So I think it would be really hard to to screw up what we were trying to say or to shed a negative light on it. So I am very interested to see what they come out with. In fact, a lot of times I'll do a media day, you know, the day the spin doctors had their day of action. I spent the entire day doing media interviews for all kinds of national news sources. And at the end of it, excuse me, I found one 16-second segment on Global, I think it was, and the rest never made it to air. You know why? Because they weren't able to, you know, to turn me, villainize me and turn me into some evil gun lobby girl. So it just didn't bother making it into their story. So, yeah, well, I'm interested to see how it turns out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's a big reason why they don't use a lot of it, because it just doesn't fit their narrative.
Yeah, it's too good.
Their pre-prepared narrative.
Yeah. Now, they were not the only ones that were there filming. In fact, I had the opportunity to inject a couple politicians into this event. So my friend Michelle Rempel came down on Friday. She as well had a half hour speaking spot on the main stage, which was very well attended, but she was followed by a crew from Netflix. So they are doing a documentary on women in politics. It's funny, actually. The title of the documentary is Hunting in Packs, Women in Politics. Okay. Anyways, I'm not entirely sure what they're saying, but it sounds tough anyways. But they were following her story. They were doing, I think, an American senator, a British parliamentarian, and I believe somebody else from the UK. So they're following these four, you know, notable women in politics and doing a story you know, based on the feminine view of political life. So she thought, well, what better way to come and follow me around and learn about me than to come to the gun show? So that was pretty exciting to have Michelle there, the crew from Netflix. It was great exposure as well for the event. And of course, all the retailers, because all of that will appear in the video, right? So you'll see that. As well, we also had Glenn Motz attend the VIP gala dinner, which was really important to me. I mean, you know, we want to be entertained. We want to look at cool guns. We want to talk with each other. The thing is, at this critical point in our political future, it is important to at least have a little bit of politics injected in. So a big thanks to Glenn Motz for coming out and speaking to the whole gang at the VIP gala. Now, there was a couple other really big highlights for me at that dinner. So number one, of course, I'm sure you're going to be hearing about this from everybody who's reporting on it. I myself am working on a story right now. But our beloved John Hipwell received a Lifetime Achievement Award from Coat of Arms in their Silver Bullet Awards. So he delivered a really impactful speech. He had his whole family up on the stage. It was super emotional for me. I don't know. I'm a big sap. I just love John. And I got to spend some quality time talking to him out in Manitoba at Wolverine Days. And just that day, they had given us the check for $15,000, which they raised to help support the cause and the fight with the CCFR. So he delivered this amazing speech, and he had a really ominous warning. And these are his exact words: if the Liberals win the next election, we are finished. So it sounds very doom and gloom, but I don't think he's wrong. This is a guy who's been in the business for, you know, 50 years. He knows exactly what's going on, and he can see how the political winds are changing. So, you know, big congratulations to John on his well-deserved win. Another one, this is personal for me, is there was an award for Canadian firearms advocacy, and it went to the young lad from Alberta, Ryan Slingerland. So Ryan, at the tender age of, I believe he was 16 when he started this journey, he created a parliamentary e-petition to scrap Bill C-71. Now, it was sponsored by Rachel Harder, presented in Parliament. It was the second most signed parliamentary e-petition of all time at that time, and it was over 86,000 signatures on that. He came and spoke at our AGM. He was one of our keynote speakers. And Ryan, you know, I believe he's 17 now. He has just burst into the advocacy scene, doing an amazing job. It is so reassuring to see young people taking an active role in, you know, in politics, in advocacy, in gun rights. And yeah, I actually have his award sitting here on the desk in front of me. So I'm going to be packing that up with love and a little note and shipping it off to Ryan, because him and his family are really excited about this. I sent him a text right from the dinner with a picture of it, and I said, congratulations, like, you're a champion for gun owners. So yeah, I'm really, really proud of Ryan, and it's wonderful to see. So I love that.
Cool. Maybe by the time I'm ready to move on and he'll be ready, he'll be this crazy young 19-year-old, you know, firearm advocate.
Yeah, and maybe he's the next Rock Hill Taka.
You know, it's I think a lot of people expected that the advocacy award would go to somebody in an org, but you know, I was talking to Corey and Doug, actually was sitting down and recounting the whole experience of the gala and the awards, and they had told me that it will never go to an organization. It's not for professionals, is what they told me. It's for people that come out of the community, that just step up and do something remarkable. So,
yeah. Well, I know it means a lot to Ryan. They had a beautiful video that Coat of Arms had produced, you know, that they showed before they kind of announced the award. And I know Ryan's dying to get a look at that. And his dad is, I've spoken to his dad on multiple occasions, and they're just so proud of that kid. So yeah, I'm really excited to get the guys to send that video over to Ryan and to ship this award over to him with knowing that he is the pride of our community. So congratulations to Ryan Slingerland. And so that's an interesting perspective. We've got kind of the, you know, the granddaddy of firearms advocacy, John Hipwell, who's been battling RCMP classifications for decades successfully. And then on the other hand, here at the other end of the spectrum, we've got Ryan, who's like, you know, he's a minor, like he's a child, right? He's a young guy. So it just shows me that everybody has the ability to participate and to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. And then where there were some shocking moments, you probably didn't think I was going to bring those up, but I'm going to.
All right.
Yeah, we were all sitting there at the table. If you weren't there, you won't have seen this. And yeah, I'm going to bring it up. So we're all sitting at the table, whatever, the show starts, and Fred goes up and to make a speech, which he had just kind of scrawled down on a piece of paper just before the event is what he had said. And he said he wanted to, since TACOM seemed like it was going to be successful and continue on, they wanted to do a, you know, kind of a rebranding of it. So he wanted to reveal his new logo for TACOM for next year. And it was the CCFR bold logo with TACOM across instead of the CCFR. And then at the bottom, it said not compromising. Everybody gasped. I was like, holy crap. I can't believe you guys just did that.
My jaw dropped about 4 inches. Like, what?
Yeah. And of course, the NFA table there. And I don't know. I think some of them realized what this actually was and were probably horrified. But I think there was a couple guys at the table, one in particular. I think it just flew right over his head.
Completely.
This is a joke. This is funny. Ha, ha, ha.
And he stood up and shook his hand. It went completely over his head, the fact that this was a direct
kick in the nuts.
Stab.
Yeah, it was a kick in the nuts is what it was.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, everybody in the room except them got it, but that's not overly surprising.
Yeah.
As well in John Hipwell's very, very moving acceptance speech for his Lifetime Achievement Award, he also expressed some severe disappointment, not just with, he mentioned the fact that we have an org battling another org over a logo and causing division that way. He also suggested that retailers really need to pull together. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong at all. Now is not the time for this. You know, we need some unity in our community. And I think we should heed John's warning. But yeah, those were two direct hits at the NFA that I think just went completely over their heads, unfortunately. But
yeah, well, as a good sport, Tony, Sheldon, and I were all on a panel together with Dan Fritter, Doug Hopkins,
and Nick from the Gun Blog.
Yeah. So Tony actually was doing his best to try to get everybody to agree that we need to stand united. And of course I went along with it because I never implied that we shouldn't. And we ended up getting a picture of the three of us. So that's circulating around, and you know, I don't mind. I mean, I'm a good sport. So hopefully that sends a message out to the community that now is not the time for division or fighting between organizations. And hopefully we can get this other thing resolved and all move forward together. Cause there hasn't been a more pivotal time, I think, in our history than 40 days from now.
Absolutely. That's the thing. We never wanted this. So hopefully it can be resolved. And thank you for your patience with that. And for, it can't be easy sitting beside somebody that's trying to damage you. But yeah, I appreciate that from you for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of unity. Mm-hmm. So there was Amanda Lynn Mayhew. So she's this hunting sensation. She's got a great show, Just Hunt. She's also very active doing these ladies' days. And, you know, she does ladies' range days, but she also does these other projects, Take Me Hunting and Take Me Fishing, which is for first-time hunters or fisher people.
Fisher folk.
Fisher kind. So she takes them out, kind of shows them the ropes. And, you know, to me, this is super valuable. And her and I were talking after our panel discussion, and she said, you know, I feel like hunters aren't as involved in advocacy. They don't recognize the importance of it as much as some of the sport shooters. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, that stands to reason because, you know, hunting and fishing is pretty palatable to almost all Canadians. You got to be pretty far left to really reject some of that stuff. However, it is a lot harder sometimes, or not as palatable, to argue for handguns and black guns. And she said, well, it shouldn't be that way. And I agree with her. So, you know, we haven't kind of laid out any direct plans yet, but she has adopted the CCFR as her official advocacy partner of Just Hunt, which is her very nicely and well-branded TV show. She's got a store, she's got all kinds of great stuff. So I'm going to sit down with her and look at some ways that together as a team that we can encourage hunters to become more involved. They can't sit back and hope that only the sport shooters are attacked, right? They're, let's be clear, they want them all. So yeah, so that's, you know, just a little tidbit. I'm not sure what that looks like yet, but I'm going to be working with Amanda down the road to, you know, at least encourage participation in advocacy. And she's got our logo up on our website now and a link to our website for people to join. So yeah, we're gonna do some stuff as well. Another thing that was really cool there was a launch of a prototype of a rifle by Alberta Tactical Rifle Supplies. So they've created this super cool non-restricted rifle, and they've got some amazing CCFR engraving going on the lower, and then across the top of it, it says firearm rights are human rights. Beautiful guns. So there's only going to be, I believe it's 250 of those made, and each one purchased, $200 will be donated back to the CCFR. So, you know, maybe go check them out on the website. I know Colin jumped in there pretty quickly and got his hands on one. So he's excited. And yeah, just a real, real sharp rifle. So everybody cool. Should check that out. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's another example of the industry working together. So that's great.
Yep.
I think that's about it. I mean, it was incredibly busy, especially for obviously you and me. One of the surprising things was that, you know, most people that came by the booth to talk to me and to talk to you had mentioned that they listened to the podcast.
Yeah.
And, you know, I told them back, like, I have no idea how many people actually listen to this podcast, because the only place I can get numbers is from YouTube, and about 2,000 people, give or take, listen to each episode, and nobody listens to podcasts on YouTube almost. Right. So
no, the numbers they're
probably
using,
three or yeah. four times bigger from people using apps like Spotify or iTunes.
Well, I think the reason why the podcast is so popular as well is it's a great way to listen to what's going on without A, having to do a whole bunch of reading. You know, I produce a lot of articles for the website, but that requires somebody to sit down and read that stuff, right? Whereas you can listen to this, you can be, you're running on the treadmill at the gym, you could be working in the gun room cleaning guns, you could be driving in the truck, you know, and have this playing and get all the updates and get the information. And it's like sitting down and having a conversation with Rod. So I think people, I think this will become even more and more popular and probably our best way of communicating with our membership. So yeah, I love it.
Mm, yeah. Seems to be working out okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing for sure. It's a lot of work, but
it is, but it's worth it. So stick with it. People love it. And your podcast, it's like listening to the radio. It really is. It's like a radio show. So it's pretty, pretty impressive. Some of the other podcasts, and you know, it's just a lot of chitter chatter. I love the commercials and the music and the intros, and yeah, that's just great.
Every once in a while I get somebody that says, you know, can you turn down the heavy metal music? You know, in the beginning. And I'm like, mm-mm.
The answer is no. It's a definitive no. I'm going to vote no on that. So,
yeah.
No. They don't even want to know what I listen to on my way down to Parliament Hill. Like, you don't even want to know. But yeah, you can't keep up this energy level and passion without a little motivation. So
without a little fuel. And, you know, I think that they need to be optimists. The glass is half full. Man, I could be putting dubstep on there or industrial. So
that's right. So be careful.
Could be worse.
Tread lightly.
Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, Tracy, with that update. And hopefully everybody found that entertaining. It was a great event. And I'm looking forward to see if it happens next year. And if so, when?
Yeah, me too. I'm excited. Mark it on your calendars.
For sure. Awesome. All right. I will. Thanks for coming on. And I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Rod. Thanks a lot.
Once you lose rights, it's nearly impossible to get them back. Right now, there are politicians and bureaucrats working day and night to eliminate your ability to own and use firearms in Canada. They're talking about not allowing you to keep your firearms at home and even taking away the ones you already have. It's not a joke. It's not an exaggeration. Activism is a lot of work, and most people don't have the time. But something that you can do is support the CCFR. For $40 a year, you can be a part of the hardest working firearm organization in Canada and get $5 million worth of insurance. The CCFR lobbies government and works to improve the public image of gun owners through media and educational campaigns. Protect your own ability to own and use firearms before it's too late. Go to firearmrights.ca and click Why Join. That's firearmrights.ca.
All right, on the Skype, I've got Dean Carr from Select Shooting Supplies. How's it going, Dean?
Great, thanks, Rod. Thanks for having me on.
It's always my pleasure. So, TACOM, what did you think?
Oh, my God. It was incredible. It was beyond our expectations. We were run off our feet 3 days straight, and it was so good to meet so many of our regular customers, the online customers that we never get to meet, to actually meet them in person, and all the new people that we've never met before. The opportunity was phenomenal.
So it was quite a setup. You had your booth, and it was like a mini store with a roof on it and everything.
Yeah, that was the goal. We wanted to create a store within the event, and our goal was to treat people in there the way we do in our store here and welcome everybody into the store as they came in. It got so busy that didn't quite happen. There were hours at a time where we could not even see the aisles, and they were only about 8 feet away from us. So it was a little bit overwhelming, but absolutely thrilled with it.
Yeah. Do you know what the final count of people that walked through the door was?
My understanding is just shy of 19,000 people.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Now the Fifth Estate were there. Did they come into your booth at all?
They didn't. I did see them following Michelle around, and they did film me while I was talking to Michelle Rempel, that is. But outside of that, I didn't encounter them.
Yeah, well, they had mentioned to me that when they were, when they showed up at the venue, and that was, what was that? It was, I guess
Friday,
12 o'clock. Yeah, it was just Friday, just before 12. The line was all the way through the entire lobby of the International Center and stretching outside. And they just, it was Mark Kelly was the host. And he's just like, I'm absolutely shocked. I had no idea. And I said, mm-hmm. Well, now you're getting to see that that a lot of people are into shooting. It's not just, some core group of, people out in the bush. It's everybody. So it was a really good display of what our community is capable of and how great our community is. And, I was just on with Tracy Wilson and we said, look at all those guns and all those people and not a single shot fired.
Yeah, I think we actually created and posted a meme about that yesterday. And we're preaching to the choir. You and I know it, and the people that listen to your podcast know it. We're not the problem. And I think this just highlighted it further to have, just shy of 19,000 people. I don't know what the count was on firearms, but there were thousands of them there. And, not a single incident at the entire show, which is exactly as I expected it. But, it's a credit to the community.
Yeah, pretty awesome. I think it's a really exciting thing for our community, a good step forward, right? For us to have our own show like that and for it to be attended and that many people would come out to it.
Yeah, I was one of those that said to Fred, the organizer up front, I thought he went a little bit too big on this one. from the proof of concept last year, but I had to go to him at the end of the show and eat my words and say, Fred, you nailed it. He got the numbers, the positive publicity, everything about it. Like, I other than taking a bigger booth space next year, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, it was an absolute credit to him and his team and to the entire community that got in behind it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. And I reiterated to Fred a couple times that one of the reasons why it was so successful is that that everyone put away their competitive nature and really supported the show. I mean, we supported it a lot. I mean, I made a commercial for TACCOM and ran it. Mm-hmm. In the podcast, I had an official TACCOM version of the podcast, like an episode of the podcast. We put TACCOM, the original one, on TV in our television show last year. Mm-hmm. And we've got an entire episode dedicated to it this season. So we've done a lot to try to make this as big as it should be. Mm-hmm. And you guys, all the different retailers, went there and supported Fred.
Yeah. And even the support between the retailers, what the public probably didn't realize is we were all working collectively too. I sold out of some certain products that I knew another retailer had that he didn't have room on his booth for, and we sold out of all of his inventory as well. So, you know, although we're competitors, we're also friends in the industry and we help each other out. So, you know, I provided some inventory to another booth and a couple of other booths provided inventory to us. And, you know, at the end of the day, the customers got what they needed, and that's what mattered.
That's awesome. That's actually a great story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, we all pulled together and Fred did an incredible job. He, you know, even the first TACCOM, if you remember that one, it was so well done. He left no details, you know, unaddressed. Mm-hmm. And I think I remember telling him that when he had the first one, I said, you know, you've done a perfect job. You've taken care of everything and everything looked great and all the rest of that stuff. And I really hope that this continues at this level, if not grows mm-hmm. in the future. I think this is really great for our community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So if anybody that's listening didn't go, it's probably well worth going because it wasn't just a, you know, a trade show or what have you. Yeah. There was lots of seminars. There was lots of main stage chats. There was the big gala dinner. Yeah, there's lots of other things to do. And I can imagine there'd be hospitality suites next time, other groups, you know, holding events at night. And so I think it's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. And the listeners may not be aware, but people came from right across the country. We sold to people from BC, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland. There were people there from right across the country that traveled in for this. And I didn't hear one of them say it wasn't worth the time, effort, and money to come into Toronto for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 I would like to say I had a great time, but it was work. But it was sort of a good time as well. But I just, I definitely need some rest after that.
It was a lot of hard work for us. We were the first in an hour before it actually opened to set up our booth on the Thursday. And we were literally the last people out of the hall by the time we packed up at almost 11 p.m. on Sunday. But that gala dinner was the highlight for me. It was lighthearted. There was a lot of comedy. I actually got to relax and have a laugh, and it you know, again, that was executed perfectly as well. I think it drew a nice balance, and can't wait for next year.
What about the award show? Do you think that was kind of cool to have there?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I got to go and present the award that we sponsored to Alexander Burdett for if I get the title right, I believe it was the top male competitive shooter for the year. And he's extremely deserving of it. And it was excellent to be able to go up on stage and hand that award to him at the ceremony. And a real highlight of the night for me was watching John Hipwell from Wolverine Supplies get the Lifetime Achievement Award. So deserving. I mean, they absolutely nailed that one. You know, he had a few poignant words for the audience. And, you know, as usual, John didn't pull any punches and he was right on the mark.
He did have a few remarks.
Yeah.
I wonder if we're going to see his speech on the internet sometime and then people can hear exactly what his remarks were. So, I hope so. Yep. I hope so.
Yeah,
and then Master Ken was the host. That was pretty funny. No.
Yeah, he was. He was hilarious. And I'll be honest, I'd never heard of Master Ken before he was announced for this. And I did a Google search and I saw a couple of his videos. And maybe because I was too focused on being ready for the event, I didn't find them funny. And I'm like, really, this guy's going to do it? And then he came up on stage and I haven't laughed that hard in a long time. He did an excellent job. I just wish I'd learned some of his techniques before my little incident back in March. Maybe it might have helped me.
I don't think they would have. No.
No, probably not. But
yeah, I didn't know who Master Ken was either. And so I looked at the videos and I didn't find them funny at all. Like they were good. They're very well made, but I didn't find it funny because I'm too cynical and sour. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, something's got to be really funny for me to laugh. And I was like, it's clever stuff.
Yeah.
But then live, it was excellent. I laughed my head off and my wife thought he was just hilarious. And yeah. The crowd loved him. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't agree more. Your experience was exactly the same as mine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was great. Okay, so this weekend, you got a big event coming up.
Yes, it's our fourth annual public range day. It's an event done jointly between ourselves and the CCFR, and we're doing it at the Oxford Fish and Game Association in Woodstock, same location as last year. So it's our opportunity to get people introduced to the shooting sports. I mean, obviously it's branded under Select Shooting Supplies, but we don't do it as a corporate sales event. We do it strictly to get people introduced to shooting and for those that are in the shooting sports to try something different. You know, you get the shotgunners out there that nothing against them. They have their little world and they love their clay games, but get them out there doing handguns and rifles, and some of the PRS guys getting them trying shotgun, and you get the idea. So this is our fourth year doing it. We typically average 40 to 50% of the people that show up have never held a gun before in their life, which is excellent. We get them out in a safe, family-friendly environment, fully supervised, and we get people seeing just how fun these sports are. And that's kind of the goal of the day.
Awesome. Well, and so once again, that's at Oxford Gun Club?
Oxford Fish and Game Association. Petullo Ave in Woodstock. It's just on the southeast side of Woodstock, so about 25 minutes from our store here in Cambridge. It is free to attend. We don't have a cover charge, so anybody can show up. They can walk in. They can meet manufacturers, representatives. They can see what's going on. If they do want to shoot, they have to sign a waiver and show some ID, and it's $5 a ticket or 5 tickets for $20. And each ticket can be exchanged for a magazine of ammunition for their firearm that they wish to shoot. Most people buy them $100 at a time because they're not going to shoot just one. But each shoot ticket also has a raffle ballot on it, and we've got a lot of great prizes this year. We've got two or three firearms to raffle off. We've got a whole bunch of Nanook cases. Dan at Nanook has been a great supporter of the event. And I'm sure there's other stuff I'm forgetting, but yeah, it's a fun day. And the club, this year, the club kitchen is putting on an amazing lunch. So there will be food and beverages available for purchase as well.
Awesome. And $5 for a magazine, that's a really great price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's really great. I've been to a couple of different events and they're always more expensive than that. So that's a great event to go to, and it's not going to break the bank to actually get there and to pull the trigger more than a few times. So that's great.
Yeah, we want to keep it reasonable and affordable. We don't do this as a for-profit event. We're happy if we cover our costs of putting the event on and make a donation to the club for the use of their property. So that's our only objective in doing that. And we've kept the price low thanks to all the vendors. The vendors that come out that bring their demo firearms, they bring their swag to give away, the vendors contribute about half of the ammo and we put the rest of it in. And that's how we keep the price down.
Yep, that's awesome. That's awesome. So what exact day is that?
It is this coming Saturday the 14th of September. We're open from 10 until 4.
So it starts at 10.
Yep.
So it's okay if somebody gets there a little bit early and waits.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have the gate open by 9 o'clock for people to come in. But we'll be processing all of our VIP ticket holders and getting them signed in first. Yeah, absolutely. You can, you know, the earlier you turn up, the closer you'll be parked to the event. Parking for the event is out on the street, but we'll be running a couple of golf carts, the 8-seater golf carts up and down the driveway to shuttle people in and out.
Sounds fantastic. Definitely don't want to miss that one.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, I appreciate the insight on TACOM, which was a lot of fun. And don't forget to check out Select Shooting Supplies event this coming weekend. Yeah, I appreciate your time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much, Rod. And as always, we appreciate everything the CCFR is doing for gun owners. And thanks for having us on the show.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for episode 46 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Really appreciate the support. If you want to become a member of the CCFR, please feel free to go to firearmrights.ca. You can become a member there. You can also find us on Patreon and become a CCFR insider. That gives you a little bit of extra access to Tracy and myself in a private Facebook group where you can ask questions and interact with us if that's meaningful at all. Or if you just want to donate and not worry about the insider thing, you can always do that at firearmrights.ca or Patreon. Also, one more reminder, there is the medical report coming out tomorrow. Please share it with everyone you can. Encourage people to spread it around social media. Every time the doctors, as I said in the very beginning, it's so important because we make all these tools and that's great, but they're just a waste of time and energy if you don't actually use them. Same thing with the explainer videos. So whenever they talk about the pediatrician study, bam, you got an explainer video that completely makes it discredited, which it is. It's a completely discredited report and a discredited statement as well, that a child is injured by a gun in Ontario every day. So when it comes to this report, you have to hammer them over the head with it relentlessly. Not repeatedly on each tweet, but the minute that they start tweeting or talking about that, boom, you post the video. The video is quite convincing. So, and then post the data and just direct people there and get other people to spend a few minutes here and there on social media hammering these people. As I said before in the intro, what they've done and the amount of lying that they've done and the amount of villainizing, law-abiding, licensed gun owners, it's just absolutely sickening what they've done. And other doctors are going to have their reputations damaged as a result, and we just can't put up with that crap. It's total garbage. So anyway, use the tools that were given to you, and hopefully it will make a difference. The election is around the corner, and we need all of the effort that we can possibly muster. All right? So thanks for listening, and we'll see you all soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.